You know, according to Islamic theology, you know that Allah never does anything without
wisdom
and reason. All right?
Yes.
Look, Dua of Kumail that Imam Ali alayhi salam taught Kumail ibn Ziyad, Imam Ali alayhi salam says in the very beginning phrases of Dua Kumail, Allahumma ighfir li al-dhunub allati tughayyir ni'am. There are some sins that changes the blessings of Allah Almighty for us. Suppose I was going to be blessed with a special blessings of Allah Almighty, but I committed a sin and now I'm not going to receive that. All right? Understood?
Yes.
Or sometimes we ourselves have some of the blessings of Allah Almighty that we change it to a calamity. For example, I have a car. If I do not follow the instructions of the, for example, according to the driving rules and regulations, if I do not follow them, I might have a car crash. Yes or no?
Yes.
So the car was a blessing of Allah Almighty to me, but I just did not let it be a blessing. Understood? Understood? So this is very important. There are a lot of important points here again in explanation of this point that I told you. You can refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah. That's it from us about this ayah. Let's move on to the recitation and the tajweed points. I want Ali Nasir to recite this ayah once. Everybody, let's listen to him once.
Yes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أحسنتم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Good.
الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر
أحسنتم Wait. الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر See? الله So how do you pronounce the word Allah? Especially the lam in this word?
Heavily.
Heavily, yes. Why? Because Hamzatul Wasl is assigned with a fatha. That's how we read Hamzatul Wasl. Yeah? In the beginning,
yes.
We have to pronounce it.
Yes.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
آيات الله حمتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي
And we said, when Hamzatul Wasl is followed with the letter Lam, yeah, Lam al-Ta'rif, you have to put an A on the top of Hamzatul Wasl. Assign it with A?
Fatha.
That's how you read it. Allah. So, when the letter Lam in the word Allah or Allahumma is preceded by a Fatha, it should be pronounced?
Heavily.
Not lightly, not Allahu, no. Allahu, Allahu. Alright? And next one, Yab, Sutu, Yab.
Qalqala.
Qa'idatul Qalqala. The echoing sound. The echoing
sound.
On the letter?
Ba.
Ba. Yab. Not Yab, Sutu. Yab, Sutu, no. That's difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
Can you repeat after me? Yab, Sutu. Without qalqala, say it. Yabsutu.
Yabsutu.
That's difficult. But when you say yabsutu, that becomes much easier. Yeah?
Yeah.
Echo the sound. Yabsutu. How many letters are there, Hassan, that we have to echo them in order to pronounce them much, like, in a better way?
Qutbijat letters, yes.
Qutbijat letters. How many letters are they?
Qaf.
Qutbijat. Say them. Qaf.
Ta.
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 Ba.
Ba,
Jim,
Jim, and dal. These are the five letters. What's the condition for this?
If they're sucking.
If they are sucking, it means they have no fatha, kasra, dhamma. You have to pronounce them with an
echoing
sound. Bounce the sound. Qalqala. That's it. Thank you. So, Allahu yabsutu rizqa. Qaf is a heavy letter, make sure. Liman yasha'a. You merge them. Qaidatul?
Idgham.
Liman yasha'a. How do you say that?
Liman
yasha'a. Extend it for two beats and also pronounce it with a
nasal
sound. That's it. Liman yasha'a. Liman yasha'a. The mad. Since Hamza is part of the word yasha, you have to extend the sound of alif, right? Yasha, 5 to 6 counts, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Wa yanqa, yanqa dir. Ali Nasir, you made a mistake here. Yanqa dir. You pronounce ra with a heavy sound, but it's preceded by a kasra, so you have to pronounce it lightly. Yanqa dir tarqiqur ra, right? And qaf, like an echoing sound. Move on. Wait. Hassan, what does that jim tell us?
This jim allows us to make a pause.
Allows you to make a pause. Good. Go on. That's a station.
وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٍ
حسنتم. Look, it's not فِي الْآخِرَةِ. It has an E sound. We don't have an A sound in Arabic. That kasra is pronounced with an E sound this way. E. Fil, not fel. Fil. Fe, fi. Fe, fi. See? They are different. Fil akhirati. That's it. This word dunya, we have actually, based on the rules, we have to apply the rule idgham here, but this is an exception. Yeah?
Yes.
Sinwan, qinwan, like dunya. Yeah, these are the exceptions. So you don't have to apply the rule idgham. And that's it. Super easy. I will recite this ayah once. Let's sing and repeat after me. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yeah? Let's go. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر
الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء
وفرحوا بالحياة الدنيا وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع
وفرحوا بالحياة الدنيا وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Stay with IRB English Radio. Every day, inshallah, we'll be here with you talking about one of the verses of Surah Al-Ra'd and so on. That's it from us for today. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein, and Muhammad Masum. Thank you so much for being with us. See you in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآلي محمد
وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه. لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, said, "A righteous child is an aromatic plant from Allah, which he has distributed to his servants." Yes, a very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. You're listening to the lightning waves of IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab, your host, and I have the pleasure to be with Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Brother Liaqat is our guest speaker today, who has a background in the psychology, and also he is a scholar in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. And this makes him a perfect guest, having a blend of psychology plus Hawza. So we are ready to learn about Islamic topics from him. Today, usually we discuss the questions or the topics here that parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. Our answers are rooted in the guidance of Holy Quran, the Ahadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and also the guidance from the narrations of noble Imams, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. So, let's begin with Quran. We have a lot of ahadith regarding learning Quran, how important it is. And Imam Ali al-Islam has put a more emphasis on to contemplate Quran. So because in an analogy, he considers just reciting Quran and not getting into its meaning as something like, for example, if you go and a couple of times you're getting a water in a basket, a dirty basket, but it has its own impact even if the basket does not get filled with water. We'll discuss that, but our main topic with you today is like, how do you guide parents to teach their children to learn more about Quran other than memorization thing? Memorization is also good at the same time, but because some are only into memorization. Mm-hmm. So how would you guide them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So actually it's a beautiful question though. The thing is, just like you have said, memorization is a good thing and it should be done. Other than that, parents should also encourage their children to recite the Holy Quran with understanding.
Yeah.
So for understanding to happen, the child should know the meanings, like the vocabulary of the Holy Quran. Otherwise, it will be definitely difficult for the child to understand. So I would say, like, to begin with the shortest surahs and the famous surahs, which are normally used in our day-to-day lives, like Surat al-Fatiha, Surat al-Ikhlas, Surat al-Kawthar, Surat al-Qadr, and Falaq and Nas, and the shorter ones, you can see at the end of the Holy Quran. So if you teach them the meanings, and of course there's another sequence as well, which they normally go through. Rather than that, if you kind of focus on the surahs, the meanings of the surahs, I think it's much better. Why? Because when you ask the child after they are done with the vocabulary, you ask them, okay, can you tell me the meaning of this verse? They will be able to tell you without looking at the Holy Quran.
Yes.
If you ask a certain word, example, what is the meaning of Alhamd? What is the meaning of Iyaka?
Yeah.
When they say and when they understand the meaning and when they recite it with meaning and understanding, they'll feel a sense of accomplishment rather than going through a proper sequence, which normally the elders do. When they go through the whole book and then they go through the verses. Instead of that, if they...
You're reminding me of one of the shoppings that I did lately, but I'll tell that about that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul سينين وخالقنا ورازقنا وهو على كل شيء قدير.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat is with us, helping parents guide how to help your children learning Quran beyond memorization. Well, you said work with the words like what is Alhamd, and also like I was going through one of the markets here in Iran, in Qom itself. So it's very famous for the Quran books, and I was looking for something interesting, I don't know, with regards to my son, and I found one of the Qurans, Alhamdulillah, they have worked upon, was words had there was a Quran where each word had a meaning beneath it, and every word was with different colors in different print. It was a bit expensive though, but I think it was very worth, because when I got it, I kept it in home and I showed it to my son, and he was like, I will learn 5 words every day. And then whoever the guest comes, I don't know why they get attracted to it and they open it and see it. And my also, like, one of my relatives was like, this is one of the worst spendings you have done, like you get a lot of toys and other things, but this is something very much worth. This really helped learn those words separately.
Yeah, perfect. Indeed, it's very important as well. Like, of course, rather than just the words are there, of course, but other than the words, tafsir, a bit of tafsir is also very important. So, example, if you are able to teach your son or your daughter, your child, tafsir of the Holy Quran, or there are books like tafsir, which is just one volume, which talks about the tafsir and gives the explanation of that one page, basically. Yeah. So in good words, like basically in one flow, I would say, and connecting all the dots of the Holy Quran, or like on that page itself, even that is helpful for kids of, I would say, like younger age. Yeah, like 8, 10, and stuff like that. So this is number 2. With this, they will get more understanding of the Holy Quran, more understanding of the surahs. And the third thing is, once they are done with this, they are done with the words, they are done with the tafsir part as well, like the smaller tafsir part, then you can start a discussion with them. And you can ask them about the reflections of what they have thought about the verses of the Holy Quran. So, example, if you ask them, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay, my dear son or daughter, like, what do you think about it?
This
now that you have learned, mm-hmm. what do you think? What is your extraction? Why? Because children normally have the a sense of imagination, mm-hmm. okay? So when you give them a content, and if you tell them, okay, convert it into an imaginative piece, they would do it very beautifully. Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
would convert it into some imaginary structure which normally doesn't come into our minds, yeah?
Indeed.
So maybe they create something out of it, and you want to hear it, for sure. And maybe, like, of course, there are adjustments sometimes, like, maybe you want to correct it, or maybe you can say, wow, that's something strange and something amazing. Like,
yeah.
even it's a piece of advice for me as well, yeah? So if you engage your children, like, in discussions about the verses they are reciting, and ask them questions, and ask them, like, how can you apply this verse in your life, I think that will even more progress their connection with the Holy Quran, what they have learned.
Indeed.
And
so
yeah.
definitely we have some more steps, but we would come to the concluding section of today's program after a short break. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about how do parents guide their children about Quran deeper than the memorization. Well, brother, you said, like, first we should go ahead with the vocabulary of Quran and try to make them understand the Quranic vocabs, like the small words of Arabic. And then you also said it's not a difficult task to go for tafsir. Try to connect the points, and when you realize that, for example, they have understood a particular verse, try to ask them more reflections about that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they come up with some new points that are more creative in nature. So yeah.
Yep. So there's another thing is when they are unable to do this, then you relate it with lifetime examples, you see. So example, like, if you ask them a verse, what about Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, and how can you relate it to your life, and they are like clueless about it, okay, then you can tell them, okay, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, what's the meaning of Iyyaka na'budu? Okay, they will say, okay, to you only we do worship, and from you only we seek help. So you will be like, okay, so you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're also seeking help in every single part of your life. Okay, in your homework, did you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the tournament which you were playing, the football tournament, did you seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see, like, in every single part of their life, you are able to, like, connect the verse to them.
Ihdina
sirat al-mustaqim, likewise, and the later on verses, of course.
Parents say this or have this concern, maybe tafsir is something heavy in the very early age. So what age do you suggest for going ahead with tafsir?
Okay, this is a beautiful question, I would say, because from one child to another, the
intellectual level,
yeah, the intellectual level and the grasping power matters.
Okay,
so it's upon the parent to decide. Now, is it the time that my child can go through this tafsir course as well? Maybe, like, there's a child who can start at the age of, like, 6 or even 7, like this example.
Right.
And there might be a child who might have to start at 8 or even 9.
Yeah.
Okay? Because of the grasping power. And, of course, we don't blame anyone. Okay,
yeah.
Why is this child learning late? There are children, like, who differ with regards to intellect, with regards to grasping power. So we can't give a proper age just like that. Okay, this is the age for learning words, vocabulary of the Holy Quran. This is the age of tafsir, example. So, but from beginning onwards, if we keep them in this flow, okay, today, for today you have two words to learn. For tomorrow you have like three words to learn. And you keep on asking them like on a daily basis, okay, what is this? What is this word? What does it mean? Okay, now make it together, club them, join them together. It will not take a lot of time. It will not take even 5 minutes of your day.
Yeah.
It'll take you like 2 or 3 minutes maybe. So with this, what and even you can do this when you're having your dinner, example, when you're working, when you're playing, example, and in this manner, inshallah, I would say the reflection of the Quran will be seen more in our day-to-day lives, inshallah.
Indeed, because we are told quite a number of times in Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, why don't you ponder in the Quran? So, which makes it clear. And also the tone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here, that we have to reflect in the holy verses of Quran. Thank you so much, brother, for helping us with those valuable insights. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late. You. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the Hall of Shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. America gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice. Our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too
thank you for joining us. This series of recognitions of the Palestinian state around the world, the continuation of the war of extermination, destruction, and displacement in Gaza City, the Israeli fear of the possibility that soldiers of the occupation might be killed or captured by the resistance, the escalation of attacks in the occupied West Bank, as well as the intensification of rocket and drone launches from Yemen against the Israeli entity, and the repercussions of the crossing incident between Jordan and the lands of the occupied West Bank. These are the topics that will be the focus of discussion in this episode with Dr. Ali Hamia, military and strategic researcher, joining us here in the studio. Hello and welcome, Doctor.
Thanks for having me with you today.
Actually, the recognition of the Palestinian state will not change anything on the ground. And a conference at the United Nations under Saudi French sponsorship is nothing but a theater. However, Israel is not happy about this, according to the expression of the Zionist ambassador to the United Nations. If the recognition of a Palestinian state will not change anything on the ground, as the Israeli ambassador to the UN highlighted, then what's behind this sweeping Israeli anger behind this recognition by Zionists, whether in Netanyahu's administration or even political opposition?
Well, let's see first. The main key word in this subject is, if it is a play, it's a theater, it's true. Before starting the recognition of the Palestinian state on the 4th of June,
yes,
1967, could this powers stop the killing and the genocides and the ethnic cleansing that been continued by the Israelis against the Palestinian? Well, first, we know if the Israelis entity did not listen to them to stop the killing machine against the Palestinian, how come they will stop being saying that there is no such Palestinian state? And that's the announcement. They said they want Gaza to be demolished and they want to annex West Bank in addition to Golan Heights and southern of Syria. So their plans are different from what MBS said with France, and I think it's only giving more time to the Israelis to do their killings against the Palestinian. And I don't think, after all the glorious that Netanyahu is feeling now,
okay,
with his craziness.
But if this is a conspiracy, why this anger, Dr. Ali? A huge wave of anger.
They will not listen to what's going on, and they know it's a big plan, and they are a big player in it, the Israelis. They want to show that it is in the hand of the West to kill, it is in the hand of the West to stop killing, it is in the hand of the West, and especially United States, which is the main dominators of the area. They can stop it at any time. Now it's not the time. It's not the real time right now. It's not the appropriate time to stop what's going on after 2 years.
Yes, but that does not explain the huge anger that we have actually witnessed during reports, during our own observations,
Israelis,
to the reports coming in from the Hebrew media, whether through the UN ambassador, whether through Netanyahu himself, where he said that when I return back, I will have the strongest response to this recognition of a Palestinian state.
Well, Netanyahu is a fugitive now. There is a big verdict against him in the International Criminal Court, and he should be jailed right now. And according to the international law, he has no right to declare any declaration worldwide, and he should not be listened to. But the main point here, as always, the Israeli entity play the role of the victim. And even though they are killing the Palestinian, and the international declaration is the recognition of the Palestinian state, the Israeli is still He's killing the Palestinian, and he's trying to play the role of victim. And right now, he's saying that if the declaration will be implemented on the ground, mm-hmm. it means that Israel lost the war and Hamas is the victorious in this war.
Okay, so looking for empathy, as you highlighted, worldwide and using it for their own advantage. However, we remain with the war of extermination in Gaza, where doubts continue about the possibility of fully achieving its goals. A former Israeli military intelligence official pointed out that there are mistakes in the Gaza City operation and that the matter requires an administrative decision for a full resolution. Do you think that the Israeli military is pursuing a wrong strategy in Gaza, and how costly will this operation be on them?
Let me briefly say in what's going on. Israel is winning points, is winning tactical margin of what's going on in the area, especially in Gaza. But I think Israelis are like a cubic ice cube that is melting in the middle of the desert. They believe that they are big, but they are melting within the 2 years of fighting against the Palestinian, and still up to now, all their plans went into the drain. None of them could, gain what's their goal from it. We are talking about freedom of the captives or the POWs, or exchange of them by the Palestinian, or dominating.
But haven't they severely weakened Hamas, Dr. Ali?
They are both weakened, not only Hamas. We are talking about after 2 years, strategic-wise, we are talking about freedom fighters. They are countable. Israeli soldiers and army, I think there are more than 650,000 soldiers. Up to now, they could not finish the war in 360 square kilometers in Gaza. So
against
15,000 freedom fighters.
Okay.
And now we are talking about huge infantries, huge mechanized platoons and brigades. We are talking about huge firepower from sky fighter jets. And up to now, there is no achievement.
You're speaking about technological advancement yet.
Up to now, Hamas is still fighting. Yesterday, there were two missiles launched against Ashdod from Gaza.
Yes.
It means that Hamas is continuing until the end, and this war will not stop until the last soldier of Israel or the last soldier of Hamas.
But do you see the same analysis? Would you share the same analysis when we speak about the strategy that's been used in the Gaza City specifically?
Exactly. Gaza City is the core of what's going on in Gaza. And I believe, we all heard Netanyahu saying that he wants to defeat Hamas. He wants to occupy Gaza City. So it means that up to now he did not defeat Hamas, and he did not occupy Gaza. It means that the incursion is different from domination. Israel is trying to do some incursions up and down, and they are trying to kill and destroy the civilians. They are trying to make the starvation for the whole population of Gaza, but up to now did not succeed.
Okay.
What we are talking about after 2 years and still the Gazian fighting against the Israelis.
Okay, in Israeli security circles, however, of course, concern is mounting over the possibility of soldiers of the occupation being captured by the resistance during the ground assault on Gaza City. Security institutions in the entity also estimate that there is a possibility of Israelis being kidnapped abroad, specifically in Taba and Sinai, as one of the Hebrew media correspondents said. Why do you think that the threat level for Israelis abroad has been increasing? And also, do you foresee a potential kidnapping of Israelis, as the report highlighted, in Taba and Sinai?
Well, if they are talking about the kidnapping of the Zionist Jewish people abroad, they are kidnapping every day. The Israeli are kidnapping Palestinians, and they are kidnapping everywhere by Mossad or others, kidnapping people from everywhere around the world. But always trying to play the victim role is not working anymore, not in the United States. We can see like a generation fight now going on between the supporting of the Jewish state and the supporting of the patriotism inside the United States. I think now talking about the possibility of Israelis being, may be kidnapped around, I think the Israeli now, the Israeli entity, and I think the research institutes understand exactly by expanding the war by Israel with the surrounding countries, it means they are afraid of transfer the war between armies to be between directly between the people of the surrounding countries against the people of the Jewish state.
So the fears are justified, in your opinion?
I think they know because of their what they're doing, because of what they committing against the Palestinian and the others. I think maybe it will be normal for them to take it into consideration.
Okay. Israeli social media, however, witnessed a campaign by the mothers of Zionist soldiers in Gaza, both living and dead. They attacked Netanyahu for sending their sons into the Gaza war. Here are some of the comments.
Farid Anbar. Remember, mothers, Netanyahu said he was ready for 200 soldiers killed in Gaza. He does not care about their blood. Two more were killed at the Allenby crossing, and four soldiers in Rafah. More and more families are joining the bereaved families in Israel. Ma'oz. There is not much difference between a mother of a soldier fighting now in Gaza and a mother of a captive soldier. Both have a son in Gaza who may die as a result of the IDF operations. Why don't the soldiers' mothers go out to protest, as the four mothers did in the Lebanon War? Holy smock. When four soldiers fall, six Israeli civilians are killed. Soldiers commit suicide. A policeman is killed. And 11 funerals are held in a single day in cemeteries across Israel. The scum of the administration rush to smile at political events. The mothers sit crying, the fathers weep, the children pray. Meanwhile, they laugh for the camera. Damn you, destroyers of Israel.
Moving to the occupied West Bank, which is witnessing escalation in both attacks and resistance operations, where the occupation army uncovered sites for manufacturing rockets in three areas of the West Bank. What does it mean now when the occupation army uncovered three sites for manufacturing rockets in the West Bank, and what it claimed were rockets in the occupied West Bank?
Yeah, I believe that the Israelis are now trying to prepare some excuses in advance in order to annex West Bank, and it's not secure anymore. So even though they didn't show the big area where they found such rackets, and as I see, it's very, very, let's say, weak rackets. I believe that Hamas is well advanced to do such rackets as they show.
So you're saying they're using this as a pretext for annexation in the West Bank?
Exactly. They are trying to say, they already declared in the Knesset that they want to annex West Bank to and the Jordanian Valley to the Israeli entity. Now they...
But isn't a rising threat to the Israelis, a resistance threat to rise
I think
against that the Israelis in the West Bank.
I think that the threat is Israel against the Palestinian, who control the security, who controls the big armies, and I'm talking about armies because they are different brigades and divisions, who control the borders between West Bank and Jordan, who control Philadelphia path, who control all the borders around West Bank and around Gaza. The Israelis are controlling all the borders, The Israelis are killing the people. The Israelis are trying to invent and create new excuses to put the spotlight on.
But obviously, the resistance over there, Dr. Ali, will not stay silent.
I think it will.
Do you think there will be a rise in the resistance movement?
Of course, sooner or later. I think, as we remember, Jenin camp all the time. The freedom fighters there were fighting against the Israelis, and Israel destroyed the whole camp once, twice, three times, four times since the 1987. And up to now, we're still seeing freedom fighters coming to fight against the Israelis. I think just with little coordination with the freedom fighters from the Palestinian Authority, it will be better. But there is a big coordination between the Palestinian Authority and the Israelis against the freedom fighters. And this is the main weak points of the resistance in West Bank.
Okay, and to the Yemeni front supporting Gaza, which continues despite repeated Israeli attacks on Yemen, with vitality, where rockets and drones are launched almost daily. The Hebrew media indicated that one drone succeeded a few days ago in striking a hotel in Eilat. Obviously, the Yemeni front continues to cause pain to all the Israelis. What does this reflect in terms of repercussions on Netanyahu's administration and also on the occupation army, Dr. Ali?
As I said at the beginning, that all the parties are now weakened, including the Israeli entity. So nobody has to claim that Israel is still more powerful than the others. Mm. And we can see what's going on in Gaza and in Lebanon. And also the main front is Yemen. Yemen, they have the new technology of new rockets, new big missiles that can go inside, and new kind of drones. We are talking about some Mark 4. They open a new corridors to let the drones arrive quietly and smoothly inside the occupied territory. So it means now, as what's going on against Gaza, Yemen is trying to do against the Israelis.
Okay.
We can see economic-wise, military-wise, and strategic-wise,
okay,
Yemen is dominating the sea, dominating the tracks of the ships going in and out.
As long as Gaza is under siege, and that's
siege,
a promise made by
exactly
them. Dr. Ali Hamia, military and strategic researcher, thank you very much for joining us in today's episode.
IRIB English Radio.
ocean of dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. And in this version of the program, we are trying to cover some of the names of the Almighty Allah that are recommended to be recited to invoke Him for obtaining benefits. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an alahum ajma'in.
Another name of the Almighty Allah, dear listeners, is the Patient, As-Sabur. The Almighty Allah is patient, and all His prophets have all been that. You can see that in entire their lives, how they faced dreadful situations and events in their lives, how they tolerated them, and how patient they were. The chief of which is the Prophet Ayyub, which is well known for his patience. And that is exactly why the Almighty Allah gave him more favors than before when he proved his patience. So the Almighty Allah is also called patient, and we can call him by this name whenever we are trying to ask him or invoke him. So we can recite this name of the Almighty Allah a lot to endure any misfortune or setback in our lives. And we should always have this in our mind, that the misfortunes or setbacks in our lives are not necessarily punishments. Sometimes they have been put in our lives just in the right time and in the right place, maybe to stop us from being proud. Or it could be the beginning of the Almighty Allah's mercy. This could all be seen as an experiment, the success of which would bring the Almighty Allah's favors and mercy more than the previous. So if the Almighty Allah is the patient and sabur, we have to be like him and try to be like him in this trait.
والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Another name of the Almighty Allah, dear listeners, is As-Sattar. As-Sattar means the one who covers everything, which translates to the coverer. We all have defects and shortcomings in our lives and maybe hidden inside ourselves. The Almighty Allah is called As-Sattar, so He covers the defects and shortcomings of everyone and everything. And if we want the Almighty Allah to be the coverer for our shortcomings, we should also be so in contact with the other people as well. So this name of the Almighty Allah, Sattar, could be called when we are trying to invoke Him to a great deal especially, so that all our defects, shortcomings and faults will be kept hidden, Allah willing. Of course, all the things we are mentioning in this program, dear listeners, have some different conditions to be met if we want to achieve the results. But whatever happens, reciting these names of the Almighty Allah will bring more the attraction of the Almighty Allah, and we can gain more benefits, especially while we are invoking Him and reciting dua. And the last name of the Almighty Allah that will be discussed in this program is the name At-Tawwab. The word Tawwab literally means the one who repents a lot, or it could be the relenter. The verb Yatubu in Arabic has two different prepositions. If it is used with the atubu ala, the meaning is accepting the one's repentance. And if the verb is used with the preposition of ila, then the translation is the one who repents and the one who is ashamed of whatever he or she has done. But in this case, the word tawwab for the Almighty Allah means the one who accepts the repentance a lot, and he doesn't take it hard when it comes to accepting them. So by reciting this name of the Almighty Allah, At-Tawwab, the Relenter, we can hope to be inspired to turn repentant unto Allah, and Allah accepts the repentance. But don't forget that the word tawbah means from the bottom of one's heart, and it couldn't be posed or imitated.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. Inasmuch as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
If the one who has committed a sinful act is truly ashamed of what he or she has done and promises not to go close to that action again, it is called tawbah. The word tawbah as a gerund means just turning back to someone or someplace. And by repenting, since we had gone astray and we had taken the wrong path, but by doing tawbah and repentance, we are turning back to the right path and asking the Almighty Allah to stay on the right path. So these were some of the names of the Almighty Allah that could be recited while we are invoking Him or in the beginning of our du'as. We ask the Almighty Allah to guide and assist us all by the light of faith and the light of Quran, and to pave its straight path further and further. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.